Hello.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening. This is Paul Edwards from Miami, Florida, and welcome to this evening's edition of Tuesday Topics. I'd like to thank my producer, Brian Charlson, and also our erstwhile producer, recorder, Steve Bauer, who does a tremendous job of turning the chaos of our recordings into a listenable program every week. Thanks so much for what you do, Steve. I'd also, of course, like to thank George Byes of Talking Communities. Without the Talking Communities software, Tuesday Topics wouldn't happen. So, thank you so much, Mr. Byes and Talking Communities. Remember, everyone, that if you have suggestions or would like to contact us, you can send us an email at tuesdaytopics@acbradio.org. That's tuesdaytopics@acbradio.org. Tonight, we're doing something that I think is kind of interesting because we're taking a look at a company and an idea and a series of potential changes that are beginning to emerge because of that company's efforts. We're also bringing directly into Tuesday Topics someone who has in the past been very well known to ACB and ACB Radio as well as an employee of the American Council of the Blind, and that is, of course, Terry Pacheco. Terry now works for a company called Tenacity, and maybe, Terry, you could begin by telling us a little bit about your involvement with Tenacity and maybe a little bit about what the company is.
Thank you, Paul. Good evening, everyone. I came to work for Tenacity about a year and a half ago, and I am their public outreach officer. Tenacity is a company that's about 4 years old now, and it was started by Dr. Thomas Vreeland and a few other people who saw that there was a need in the developing communications field of telephony, particularly as it applies to employment opportunities and employment that was beginning to go away for people with disabilities, particularly the blind and low vision populations and people with cognitive and dexterity impairments. They saw that there was a need because so much of the current and the future telephony communications are basically graphical user interfaces that are not accessible. And there are so many features on these phones that are really wonderful features, but are virtually impossible to get to using the soft keys on the new phones. And so they developed a product called Accessiphone. And my colleague, our chief developer, David Combs, is on the program with us this evening, and I'm sure he can tell you a lot more about the history of the development of Accessiphone and the really exciting things that are starting to take place for the future. Accessiphone is the first product that Tenacity has produced, but there are several more in the pipeline and several additional features so that we will eventually become a total communications and a total conversation application for everyone. We're very, very involved in universal design. Our future products will be able to be used by the people who are blind, low vision, deaf, hard of hearing, deaf-blind, and those other disabilities, and especially by people who are not disabled. And it really levels the field for everyone. And I think that's what we've all been striving for a tremendous number of years, and Tenacity is really working to make that solution possible.
Let's welcome in our second guest for this evening, David Combs, who is one of the chief programmers and developers of the Accessiphone. And David, maybe you could start by telling us some of the problems that Accessiphone tries to solve. That is, what were some of the problems that were beginning to emerge for people with disabilities in a little more detail when they tried to access these new phones?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Paul, for the introduction. As Terry had pointed out earlier, I'm the chief developer of Accessiphone. It was kind of invented by three or four of us at Tenacity, and we have a lot of outside influence and ideas we've gathered together. There have been quite a few challenges over these past few years to solve the universal design problem. The first one being that these new telephony devices coming out, such as the soft keys on the phones and even soft phones themselves, they're dynamic. The buttons change, the order of the buttons can change, therefore no one knows if the F1 key is hold or the F1 key is end. So we took what we call the standard telephone function, such as answer, end, dial, hold, and assign hotkeys to these and made them as intuitive as possible, such as D for dial, A or spacebar to answer, depending on where you are in your computer at the time or your application, E to end the call, H to hold the call. So by combining these methods with these simple keystrokes, and working with multiple telephone systems and multiple vendors at the same time, we've standardized telephony across the board just using your keyboard of your computer. We also took it even further and started doing advanced call controls, such as conferences and transfers and parking. Some people call it looping, to where you can only, all you have to do is press Alt-C to conference, enter the number, and it automatically conferences all three parties in on a conference call. So as you can see, it, by taking the control of the telephone at the computer level, we have leveled the playing field of telephony devices, making it standard so anyone who can use a standard keyboard or PC can access their telephone just like most users do on a daily basis.
So to help me understand, essentially the decision that you made was we can't easily make a broad variety of telephones made by a broad range of manufacturers individually accessible, so we'll come up with another solution. We'll instead, in effect, run that telephone system through the computer. How do you do that? Do you actually put a board in the computer, or does the telephone operate off a modem, or are you using some kind of VoIP technology, or how do you actually get the telephone to go into the computer?
Paul, the answer to that question is E, all the above. We initially started out using the vendor's drivers for their telephone system, or their PBX, or voice over IP system, or a virtual PBX, or a VBX, they like to call them now. We interact in three different ways. One, we can work with the modem of the computer, which is originally how the software was written in the, you know, in the small office of my home several years ago before Tenacity was started. And then we evolved from there by working with different vendors, and most of the majority, the major vendors we work with now, and we took their telephony drivers and integrated with Windows Tappy, and then added functionality on top of that with our own proprietary call control and code, and kind of wrote what they call in the field a wrapper, which is nothing more than a DLL that accesses these functions and standardizes these functions across different vendors, because they are different depending on the proprietary software from each different system. So now we're actually working with SIP, with TTY technology in that area, and we've got some pretty exciting things coming out with that. So we're trying to wrap under our belts every single possible telephony control we can.
That's excellent. So some of the telephone systems, even before you guys came along, that is some of the VBXs and that sort of stuff, are actually using computers now to operate them. Is that correct?
That is correct. Some vendors have complete software-based solutions. I won't go into naming the vendors, but there's several of them, and they work very well. It's nothing more than a Windows computer or a Linux computer running in the back end, and their call control is handled through services and different kind of remote events that can talk peer-to-peer or even network-based.
it's sort of fascinating where we're going. So there was a time, say, and this is really, I think, to Terry, there was a time, say, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, where there were an awful lot of blind people working as PBX operators, and those jobs gradually went away as more and more graphical user interfaces came along and more complex switchboards came along that depended entirely on a range of different colored lights and then on, as David has suggested, as well on a range of buttons that were then changing. And so suddenly those jobs essentially went away and a lot of people lost their jobs. So did you guys actually decide that you could then create some possibility that these jobs would come back, Terry? And perhaps you could talk a little bit about some of the successes that you've had.
That was our original motivation, is to get people back into positions and to keep people in positions, because voice over IP and digital and hybrid phone systems are the way of the future. They hold the largest market share now when new phone installations are being put into place. They're not really putting in old analog systems anymore. And that's why I was so excited about the company, that they were so looking ahead. You know, so many times we've had to retrofit everything, especially since Windows came along. And this gave us the opportunity to really be ahead of the game. And we have had several people. I know we have a gentleman who works in a bank and as a financial advisor, and he was about to either lose his job or be demoted because he could no longer use the telephone. We've also been doing several installations with several federal agencies. And one of the nice things with that is that if your phone system is one of the newer systems and is compatible with Accessiphone, and several are, then you can put it as a reasonable accommodation through the CAP program, which I think most disabled federal employees know about CAP. If they don't, they should definitely get in touch with their 508 coordinator, because every 508 coordinator knows about it. And I think there's something like 78, something like that, agencies that are member agencies of DOD CAP. We are on the CAP list. We have been getting referrals and sales through CAP, and I think that's an excellent way of having the same features that your sighted colleagues have. One of the features of Accessiphone is that it does have an audible caller ID, and so that you at least have the option whether you want to answer the phone or not at that moment and want to be on top of who's calling and what files you need to have up, that kind of thing. Maybe in a few minutes we'll get into a few more of the features of it. But I think that, I'm hoping I've answered your question anyway, Paul.
Yeah, you did fine, Terry. Thank you. So let me go back to exploring the process a little bit more. And maybe you can help us by distinguishing between two things, because it seems as though we're actually talking about two different applications. One is the telephone that an employee might have on his desk. That is a complex telephone now that can do a whole range of things, but that for the most part was inaccessible to that person. And the other is actually the kind of PBX phone systems. Would that be correct, David? And if it is, maybe you could also talk a little bit about some of the features that would be involved on a phone on one's desk that are now made accessible that weren't, and then we'll go from there.
Sure, Paul. That is correct about the way the devices work together, but you also can have a soft phone running on the PC as well instead of a desk phone. Most call centers have this because it's a cheaper implementation and it supports a little more software integration, such as database lookups and information that can be done at the PC level instead of just with a desk phone. Companies have gotten much, much better at integrating data across systems using their voice over IP or their PBX systems they currently have in place. Some vendors have even modified older technology to even use some of the newer stuff, what we call a VBX, allowing different events from telephones, such as caller ID events or hang-up events, or even when an agent goes off-hook to you to take a break for 15 minutes or so. All those events are then queued up and responded to in applications. And what we do is we trap those events using the vendor's technology and integrating with our technology, and bring those events to the user's attention that they really need to know about, such as when a call goes on hold or if a caller hangs up. Any of that information. To continue on with your other question is some of the feature sets that you can access through the telephone. We'll go through the basic ones first. I've mentioned a few earlier. But even something as simple as Terry had mentioned is caller ID. Most quote-unquote solutions for 255 and 508 just provide a number, the telephone number itself. They don't provide the name, nor what time the call came in, and information like that. We provide audible caller ID, both name and number, and you can even have customization options where you can mask the name or mask the number, or just choose to have it tell you an incoming call or turn it off itself. You can even have repeatable options where you can repeat the caller ID up to 3 times. And then if that still is not enough, you can also press the tilde key or the Graves accent key on the keyboard and have that caller ID repeated at any time in case you had to divert the call or do not disturb and you had forgotten who called. You now have a reminder key to let you know. Another feature that revolves around caller ID is something called missed calls. Something as simple as missed calls on most phones is a tremendous amount of effort to get to for any user, whether you have a disability or whether you do not. The call log itself has to go through, I've counted on some phones, up to 8 keystrokes just to get to your missed calls. Phenomenal amount of effort, but what we did is you just press Alt-M on your keyboard and it automatically brings up your missed calls, your call log, and with your missed calls in the search criteria. So you can quickly go through those, and if you notice a call that you need to call back, you just simply dial or press Alt-D on your or Enter on the selected record, and you're able to call that person back.
That is actually pretty cool, the range of technologies that are not only available in phones, but the range that you've been able to capture. One of the things that's happened perhaps most significantly in the last 15 years in terms of telephones has been the degree to which telephones have at least begun to truly make room for people who are deaf. Not only did we get telephone relay services starting and other such things as that, but we also ended up with systems like video relay. Has your company looked at all at trying to make complex phone systems more accessible to deaf folks?
I will quickly answer that and then let Terry take over. We are in development of a pretty revolutionary system that is designed around video and using voice over IP and SIP technology. With that being said, I will let Terry take over since she's more involved in the actual sales and marketing and public outreach process than I am. I'm more the techno side in the back end. I'll let Terry speak a little bit about that solution.
But I can tell you that it makes the product that he's talking about that we're right now calling Accessiphone Total Conversation will bring together video relay, text, real-time text, TTY, and all has the capability of working with JAWS or Window Eyes or Supernova. You know, me and my R's out of Boston, I kind of reverse them occasionally. It does all of that, and works, as I say, works with screen readers and also works with Braille displays. So we're really excited about it. We're hoping to see it in production this fall, or certainly by the first part of next year. That's one of the really, really cool things, because it will be able to make it very easy for a deaf person and a blind person to communicate very easily back and forth, also including the video relay as well, and the whole thing will be able to be read on a Braille display.
That actually is pretty amazing. Right now, as the director of access services, what I tend to do is to if I'm trying to talk directly with a deaf person, say about an interpreting problem, I'll type on my computer keyboard and then pass the keyboard across the desk and have the deaf person type on it, because that's actually easier than trying to emulate a TTY on the computer that sometimes doesn't work well. And many of the TTY emulators, in any case, tend to be pretty graphical, so they don't exactly work well for blind folks. I have found a couple of older programs that I've sort of been able to use. And of course, you know, one can go into programs like AIM and do other text messaging, but a single overarching solution that would allow all of these elements to work together will be a huge step forward. I think it's going to make a huge amount of difference. And of course, the other thing, I don't know if you guys have given any thought to this, but the other thing that we might want to look at is whether this whole system might in fact be able to work as a less expensive solution for the provision of remote interpreting.
That's an excellent point as well. I truthfully have not given a lot of thought to remote interpreting, but I will definitely bring it back to our team. And David, you've heard it as well, so between us we will definitely get it addressed. I think one of the other issues that the deaf community has been pretty excited about with this new technology is that not only can you do instant messaging, the problem with instant messaging is that it's not actually real time. And with this new product, we will be able to do real time messaging.
And I'll ask this question of David, because it's probably a David sort of question. If you know the answer, David, is this real-time messaging, in fact, full duplex messaging, so that you can essentially both be talking at the same time?
That is correct. It is full duplex because of the way the software interacts with ports. Just like SIP, there's a port to receive and there's a port to send, so it's even possible to perform some form of conferencing as well, kind of like we are doing now in a chat room. It's amazing technology, and it was pretty challenging to get this type of technology to work over the telephone line, as you may well already know how difficult some of these things are to do. But it is true, it will be able to do send text both ways simultaneously.
That's pretty amazing stuff. Just I want it,
I'm a fool. From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Well, we've been talking for a while. I think there are a few other folks who've joined us. So let me open it up and see if some of the folks who are here might have some questions or some comments that they'd like to make about this kind of revolutionary new era in the field of PBX. Anybody want to jump in? Guess not. So I get to ask another question. I think it's one thing to create technology, Terry, that actually enables blind folks to go to work. How do we deal with the other side of the coin? These systems must be fairly complex to operate. Certainly if you're doing a telephone call center, a blind person or a visually impaired person would actually have to get a lot of training. Has your company given any thought to how we recruit and train people for positions in this kind of field?
Well, I will tell you that the training for Accessiphone is pretty minimal. It's very, very intuitive. Generally, a one-hour conference call will completely train someone to use it. Of course, that would have to be, in the call center situation, it would have to be somewhat in consort with the other applications that the call center happens to be using, and those are often proprietary applications. But as far as the Accessiphone itself is concerned, There is additional training available. We have a lot of help built into the program. There's a place where you can just do an Alt-N for the information center, and there's an onboard help there. There's also a phone number that comes up for direct connection or an email for direct help from Tenacity. You just hit enter on the phone number if you're using Accessiphone, and it automatically takes you right through to our support. But it's really, as David said, it's a very, very intuitive system, and you can learn it pretty quickly. We also have a user guide and a quick reference card available at all times on our website, and they are also available for download in alternative formats, and can also be sent out to anyone in virtually any format. We are even soon going to have them available in DAISY. So there is a lot of help available, and it really is a pretty, pretty low learning curve.
David, one of the problems in phone systems, particularly in call centers, is that companies tend to have their own proprietary databases and the people who are on the phone system, or of customers that folks are getting set to call. And very often these are set up in such a way that they, at least from the outside, seem to be inaccessible. Does your product actually capture the output of those things and make it accessible? Or is that a step that you have to try to go through with the call centers themselves, or in fact is it beyond the scope of what your company does?
There are some out there that are more compatible with across the board from different vendors, but if you really want to break it down, they all have their own solution in the back end, such as getting to the data, as you mentioned, different databases. What we did is we really researched the way information is stored and took it to another level that we realize that things are going to change. Proprietary systems are always going to have what their own recording or call logging software is going to do. So what we did is we stored everything in the back end in an XML file that is stored in the user's application data directory. So they have full access to these files. If they choose to open them in Excel, it opens in a columnar format, which is accessible. If you choose to open them up into Internet Explorer or a Firefox browser, you can view the information. As you already know, most database systems support XML import and exports. So if you store these call logs on a server directory, whatever the default user's directory is, they can import these logs and do their own custom reporting off of them.
Does that mean that even if you have a database which is inaccessible, An individual who is blind, let's say, could actually get to customer lists because they can be ported through your system that allows them to be stored and viewed, say, in Internet Explorer or Excel?
You're actually bringing up something that's coming in the very near future, Paul, which is such as the call center type call lists. As if you're an operator and you sit down and you have a list of 100 phone numbers you're supposed to call in your 8-hour shift, or as many as you can during that shift. And it's quite difficult to copy and paste all these numbers into your soft phone, or to look at them in the screen and have them read back to you and then dial them on the phone. We're actually working on an enhancement request from several of our users that will allow an import type utility for a call list with that capability, so that you could do an import as soon as you log in and your call list is there for the day, and nothing more than just down arrow through your calls and enter to dial. And you can also make notes on those calls and flag them for follow-up, which you can do now. Flag calls for follow-up and make notes on these calls. But the import utility is coming in a very soon version, within the next 3 to 6 months.
That is truly amazing, because it will suddenly open up a whole host of entry-level jobs for folks who are blind or visually impaired, which they simply cannot do now. Let's take the system going the other way, though, because I assume that most of the time an individual, let's say you're in a call center instead, where instead of doing outgoing calls, you're for the most part required to respond to incoming calls. Does your system have an ability to log those calls and to acquire information about the people who are calling in so that, for instance, in addition to a telephone number, if it's available, it will actually provide you with the name of the caller and that kind of stuff?
That is correct. We currently work with Microsoft Outlook contacts, the address book, which, you know, most people store a business or personal contacts in their directories. And when the application loads for the first time and actually goes and tries to import these contacts, if they're available, they get pulled in and dumped to a directory in an XML format. And then our application uses this to determine names and numbers of available. So if the caller name is not available, the caller number is, we can kind of do what they call a reverse lookup and determine the information for that caller. Some of the future things coming probably in the next patch or release by November or December would be that you can actually do some really intuitive stuff with your calendar and your appointments. So if a caller calls in and you need to follow up and say, okay, let's schedule a conference call, you can put that down on your calendar as an appointment with that contact information and save that back into your Microsoft Outlook. So we are doing a lot of integration work with the different email servers and address books, and we're currently working on the Lotus integration now for a future version. So a lot of these things are coming, and these weren't really ideas that we had come up with in general. A lot of this information came from our users and just requests of what they would like to see, including the global directories of most PBXs and exchange directories, things like that.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. You're actually going to be able to solve a fairly large number of problems all at once. So, Terry, let's talk a little bit about some of the specifics of programs or of jobs, really, that are going to open up. Clearly, someone who is going to be taking calls to try to sell a product would be hireable in this kind of situation, or calling to, say, raise money for a charity. That kind of job would be covered. Clearly, as well, I guess, a job at reservation centers for places like hotels or car rental companies would now be doable. Are there some other kinds of jobs that you see opening up as well?
I see, yes. I see the ones that you've just mentioned are excellent examples. I think that there are a lot of others. Hospital switchboards, or hospital settings, that kind of, that there are a lot of contracts now, but a lot of those phone systems are becoming incredibly antiquated. I think that working with perhaps some of the National Industries for the Blind member agencies that hold those contracts now, I think we'll be able to vastly improve a lot of those working situations. The other thing, too, is even getting back from away from call centers, is the phone on your desk at work. I know a 508 coordinator who is getting Accessiphone installed on his phone next week. Now, that's a typical office situation. He's had a new phone system in his office for the last 6 or 8 months, and he calls me periodically and says, "My phone's beeping. Can you tell me why?" He does have a good sense of humor, because I haven't got a clue in the world why his phone is beeping. But once he gets Accessiphone, he will be able to deal with all of the features on his phone. It goes way beyond call centers. It goes and entry-level jobs, which are incredibly important. But it also, I think, is equally important for people to keep up-level jobs and to keep their productivity and their speed up in the journeyman and upper level and management level positions. You know, a lot of people have worked really hard to progress in their careers. And when you're on a career track, the last thing you really need is suddenly not to be able to use your phone. I mean, the phone is something that we as people who are blind or visually impaired have had such access to for so many years. Wants to lose that. So we can do that on a more individualized basis with Accessiphone.
Terry, give us some idea of how a person could acquire an Accessiphone. What kind of an investment would a company have to make? Or what's the minimum and then perhaps the average?
That's a little bit of a difficult question because there are different pricing structures, whether you're talking a call center, an individual license, a number of licenses if you need. You know, if you choose to buy 15 licenses, it varies. It could be as low as $20 or $30 a seat on an enterprise system where it's on every phone in the network, that kind of thing. Let me put it this way. What I would say is, on the absolute outside maximum, you're not talking more than $1,000, which at first sounds like a lot. Keep in mind that that hard phone on your desk in one of these new systems runs in excess of $800. And so it really isn't that much of a difference.
So, David, I have a hard phone on my desk that doesn't appear to go anywhere near my computer. Now, it's obvious that that phone has a computer system that's involved with it, and there are a number of features on my hard phone on my desk that I can't use. So would you expect that the hard phone on my desk would probably be convertible to an accessiphone without a lot of difficulty? I mean, is it typical that most phone systems nowadays, this is really kind of where my question is going, even if all the individual sees is a phone going into a phone line, can actually be adapted so that they will be accessiphone competent?
That's correct, Paul. Most of the major telephony vendors, all you need is a desk phone and a computer. No special cables is required to connect. In some circumstances, it is, due to the way the vendor wrote their libraries that we interact with. But the standard setup is a desk phone on a desk, a computer, install the what we like to call the TSP drivers from the vendor, install accessiphone, and you're ready to go. We've had some installation issues and issues in the past that we've been able to resolve in this next version, and made the install quite simple to where there's even a server installation of your telephony drivers to where there's no client install required at all. You merely install accessiphone, it goes out to the server where your extension's configured, and you're able to control your desk phone. Once again, we are not a phone. We actually control the device you choose to use, whether you choose to use a soft phone, whether you choose to use a desk phone. We merely take control of that device for you and report events back from the telephone itself.
Now, if I have a desk phone and I have a computer that I'm using for everything else, for writing memos, for looking at email, for browsing the web, can I use that same computer to operate accessiphone on, or do I need a dedicated computer?
No, it runs quite well on the machine you're already using. There are resource issues for older machines, such as Pentium 3s, where you have a minimum of probably 512 megabytes of RAM. We recommend, you know, going to a gig. As you know, Microsoft Outlook and JAWS themselves running in conjunction really consumes quite a bit of memory. But the versions we have now of the software consumes actually less than 25 megabytes of memory on your machine. So it's actually a very small footprint on your machine. It runs extremely fast. So no, you don't need another PC. It runs quite well on the one you have already.
Well, that's pretty cool. It would really be nice to be able to do what everybody else in management in my company can do, which is to tell who's calling. Right now I can't do that because, of course, there's only a graphical interface that would allow me to do that. And there are some other features that one has simply had to learn, like the approach to conference calling is a kind of a multi-keystroke exercise. It's doable, but it took some learning, and I would guess that for a lot of folks in my position, they haven't learned it. But, of course, that's true of a lot of the people who aren't visually impaired as well. There are, I think, very few people in management in most of these companies who actually probably use their phone to the max. Is one of the things that your program actually enables the ability that perhaps a blind phone user would have to actually be able to do an even better job of using the phone than his or her sighted counterpart?
To answer your question, Paul, is that's correct. We've actually done some in-house case studies. We have a great benefit of having a blind institution, a school in our own city that we use quite often for we bring students from the school over to, you know, to visit us for a day and to give us a lot of feedback. And we have found that a lot of the users who are totally blind actually use the phone much better than a sighted user would, or has you know, no visual impairments at all. One of the one of our customers actually, since I can't mention names or specifics, was absolutely amazing as to how fast he could use Accessiphone on his machine. And I've been programming and using computers since I was 8 years old. I've been in a long time. And this user was blowing me away and just fascinating me on some of the things he was able to figure out. And I think you'll find that it's actually a much more intuitive and fast tool.
Let me open it up and see if some of the folks who are with us have some questions for you guys on the Accessiphone product that's available from Tenacity, a new company in the really in the access technology field, who are making a range of jobs and a range of things available in the telephony business. So do some folks who are here have questions or comments?
Hello, this is Frank. I don't so much have a question as to point, simply want to point out that I've done a lot of telephone work in my day, and gradually phones, you know, have just become, you know, the sighted user has access to more information than the blind user, and we have, you know, we managed to work around that. Well, you can get away without knowing whether there are any other calls waiting, because when you finish your call, you'll hear the other call will come through. But now, where for example, you have caller ID, which gives you a clue as to where the call is coming from and perhaps who is calling. You have conference calling functions when I couldn't use at all. I just think that this product. And the other point is, I think that a lot of blind people, because of the increasing inaccessibility of phones, a lot of blind people have lost jobs, and I think that a product like this can open up a lot of job possibilities for our brethren in the future.
Thanks, Frank. I think you're absolutely correct with regard to that. Other questions or comments from folks who are here?
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. Now, I was wondering, with this product, would this allow a blind person to do telephone work from his out of his own home and things of that nature?
Well, I think. Good evening, Gary. I think that would depend on the company that you were looking to work with. If they were set up for such a situation, then it would absolutely. But it is totally dependent on the companies, on their phone system, and on their practices.
Hi, it's Steve Bauer from Wichita, Kansas. I've actually been using the Accessiphone software for a couple of years now, and recently the company I work for upgraded their call manager, and it broke my Accessiphone, and that was about 2 weeks ago, and I have all of the instructions and just trying to slow one of the guys down that can get onto the call manager and make the little changes that are necessary and to assist me to get it all done. We started on it today, and then, of course, his cell phone went off and he had to go away. But it's the simple features that I use the most, and caller ID is one of them. The other is the audible message waiting indicator. I miss those a lot. I'm hurting with Accessiphone being broken right now, and hope we get it going soon, because I sure miss the functionality that it provides.
Steve, I'm going to pick on you for a second. What would have happened to you, do you suppose, had Accessiphone not come along? Would it have impacted your ability to do your job?
Not really to do my job, but it would definitely have slowed me down, and even in the simple things, such as forwarding calls or, you know, doing a conference call, things like that. And the biggest problem with these phones, and I'm confident that they look great and they make plenty of sense if you can see the screen, but the soft keys or the buttons, shall we say, that are above your touchtone pad, depending on the state of the phone, they change. If your phone's just sitting there doing nothing, those four buttons say one set of features. Your phone starts ringing, they change. You answer the phone, they change. You put a call on hold, they're different. And these phones are just dreadful for a blind person. And the designers such as Cisco and Avaya and others, they're clueless. And until they start getting an idea as to what a miserable job they're doing in designing these phones, not only the physical design, but the way they function, programs like Accessiphone are going to be a lifesaver.
Terry, if a company like Avaya or Cisco wants to sell to the federal government, one presumes that they do, or come to that to state and local government entities, aren't they supposed to be making their phones accessible and usable by folks who are blind and visually impaired? And if they are, does that mean that you can actually, to a degree, partner with the vendors in terms of getting some return in exchange for the fact that by adding Accessiphone, they can now compete for federal contracts?
That is one of the most loaded questions. I'm going to give you an A for effort on that one. Yes, when a federal bid goes out for a phone system, for instance, it is supposed to have in the bid that it is 508 compliant. The company also is supposed to answer a question as to whether or not it is 508 compliant. Whether or not they have actually tested it, I'm not going to go there at the moment. What tends to be the situation is that they get the contract, they don't think anything of it unless there's a 508 complaint filed, and then they scramble for a solution. I will say this about Avaya. They have attempted to come up with a solution. From what I have heard about it, though I have not honestly seen it myself, it does do some minimal accessibility. My understanding is that it does not, but as I say, it does not completely, but as I say, I have not actually seen their quote-unquote solution. They are the only company that I know of that has done anything along those lines. That's when we get involved, and that's where some of our partners come from, is all of a sudden, oh, well, yeah, we've put in this system, and now somebody actually needs a 508 compliant on it. This is one of the reasons why we have gotten so involved with House Bill H.R. 6320, the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act of 2008, because they also have a responsibility under Section 255 with the FCC, and somebody's got to finally get them to become accountable for just passing us over time and time again. And Tenacity has taken a very active role with the organization with Code Access, which is the Coalition of Organizations for Accessible Technology. We are a very, very much an advocacy-based organization, and we've been doing a lot of work with them. We've been doing a lot of work with the deaf community, the hard of hearing community, and of course the blind and low vision as well. And it's time to make these companies that are claiming the 508 accessibility, it's time to make them stand up and say and prove that they are. And one of the ways that they can do that is by partnering with us, because as far as I'm aware, no one else has come up with a solution, anything as comprehensive as ours, actually any solution at all. And it's just time that they are held accountable. We actually find out about a 508 complaint with a particular manufacturer. We talk to the manufacturer about partnering with them, and they're really not interested until it actually comes up at them that they have a problem with a federal agency on a complaint. Then they're more inclined to work with us. But the point of all of this is, we have to pay them to let us become their accessibility solution. So, I mean, there's just so much work that still needs to be done in this area, and I'm really proud that Tenacity has stepped forward as much as it has to at least get this ball rolling, because there is no excuse for some of the shenanigans that take place, making all kinds of technology accessible, whether it has to do with 508 or 504 or 255 or just because it's the right thing to do.
David, I'm going to ask you a hard question. And my question is, you've certainly talked about a lot of problems that you've actually been able to solve and a lot of issues that you've been able to deal with. Are there some nuts that you so far haven't been able to crack that are actually holding modern telephony back from being made fully accessible by the application of your product?
Wow, you really hit me with the question of the year. There are quite a few things that we as development and as Tenacity as a business struggle with on trying to solve on a daily basis. It never ceases to amaze me as to how many issues are out there that we're trying to solve that we can solve, just don't have adequate time or resources to get to them. So yeah, there's quite a few out there. If you have any in particular, I'd be glad to address a few in particular if you have some you'd like to point out.
Well, I'm not sure I'm smart enough or intelligent enough to know what they are, but I guess my issue was we have to stop short, I guess, from saying that the Tenacity and Accessiphone and whatever the new product ends up being called is a universal solution, but it certainly appears to be moving in the right direction and adding new functionality with every release. So I guess another way of asking my question is to maybe focus on asking a question 2 to 3 years down the road. What new features that you think are needed do you guys think are on your kind of long-term drawing board that won't be added with the next release, revolutionary though it is, but that might be available on future releases that you're at least thinking about, if not actively working on?
To iterate, one particular issue we're trying to solve is the proprietary versions of every single vendor out there. Everyone does things their own way, and naturally, as a company, you tend to do those things, proprietary. Different vendors have different solutions. There's Skinny, there's IAX, there's many different protocols that I'm mentioning. There's SIP. There's so many to name, and we're trying to work with all of them and standardize functionality across the board for every single feature. For example, we have something as simple as calls on hold. You press the hold button on the phone, the call goes into a hold state. It's not that simple in development. A lot of things behind the scenes happen. Some PBXs even go to the fact where they actually simulate a park, meaning the call disconnects, dials a number, and parks it somewhere else, then comes back to a hold state. So several events are firing off, causing us a little trouble on how we can log that information and how to not misinform the user that a call actually was disconnected. Something simple as that. And other users don't support hold at all in some systems because they don't support multi-line functionality. And as you know, voice over IP, in order to hold a call, you have to have multiple lines references on even though one line. So even though there's one line there, you can have up to 255 calls on one line on certain phone systems. Another issue is the actual voice transmission that goes over to the telephone itself. One of the things we're trying to do is implement more of a call recording for customer service type based solutions to where we can't record calls because we're not actually the telephone device itself. The stream is not directly coming to us, it's going to the device, and in order to cut back on traffic in your network, we don't try to stream the network, the audio stream to us as well to record. So there are a few issues that we're trying to overcome that hopefully in the near future, by standardizing what protocols vendors are going to use for their telephony and forcing some kind of control over these standards, we will be able to add more feature sets like the ones I mentioned.
Does Accessiphone, or perhaps it's soon to arrive, Brother, make use of voice recognition in your system now?
We don't have any built-in voice recognition, but we have tested and verified that it works very well with multiple voice recognition systems. Our CEO, as a matter of fact, Brent, I'll mention his name, he loves to play with Accessiphone. He's probably our most avid user of Accessiphone, and he plays with it on a daily and nightly basis, and he always comes to me and says, hey, look what I figured out. Look, I got this to work. And he's been able to successfully control his telephone using four or five different various voice recognition softwares. And quite successful, I might add, and some stuff he's impressed me on. Another one of our employees, mentioned Dustin Armstrong, who's our director of operations. He does quite a few demos. And we're partners with Nuance or Dragon, which our voices actually, the Nuance voices belong in our software package now. We've done several macros and have some available if customers would like them that can control the phone with voice recognition. So we are researching it heavily, working in different solutions, and we are looking into the new Windows Vista improvements they've made to their voice recognition on that on one of the next releases.
We're actually getting near the end of our stay together, Ms. Terry, so maybe you could end things by first saying any last things that you might want to say, but second, by giving us your contact information, because I would assume that most of the people who may have questions would probably come with those questions to you to start with in your job as outreach director.
My contact information is, first, my email is T. I think most people on here have an idea how to spell it anyway. It's T for Terry Pacheco, P-A-C-H-E-C-O, at tenacitycorp.com. My direct number, office number, is area code 337-735-9524. The office's main number is 337-735-9500. You can always send an email as well for additional information to sales@tenacitycorp.com or sales@accessiphone.com. Paul, I want to thank you very much for giving us this opportunity this evening to get a little bit more word out about Tenacity and Accessiphone and the exciting products that we've got coming in the future.
David, do you have any of the information Terry is urging you to provide?
As a matter of fact, I do. Let me pull the website up here right in front of me. If you would like to call our support line, it is 877-362-2489. And our sales number is 866-756-0321.
Thank you so much. And thank you both for being with us this evening. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in tonight. I'm excited by what we heard tonight simply because I watched a whole class of jobs disappear. And there was virtually nothing that I could do to make those jobs come back or stay. And the fact that Tenacity has found ways around many of the problems that operate with modern phone systems potentially, I think, means not only enabling a lot more blind and visually impaired folks to find jobs, but perhaps more particularly, it enables those of us who are blind or visually impaired who are on the job to actually do a better job because we can learn through Accessiphone to make the phones on our desk dance and play. Which is a very, very cool thing. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for tuning in to Tuesday Topics. Remember, whether you're using a phone or not, listening is the way we learn.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday at 1 hour Universal. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room software. An announcement about the show, including information about the topic and the guest speaker, will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.
It's a new dawn, it's a new thing, it's a new ring. So pick up your phone.
Pick up a pick.
Pick, yeah.
Pick up your phone. I know you're home. You're not alone.
Pick up your phone.